Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest new edition, brand spanking new edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with our beloved pastor.
2025.
2025. Happy New Year.
I just dated it, right?
Yeah, I think you did.
Oh, man.
But you know what? And it makes people realize that we weren't on screen for the beginning of the year, I guess, for real. Those are reruns, but yeah. People might realize we do reruns.
But God renews them daily.
Just like, that's right. I guess the Bible's a rerun though, isn't it? If you think about it. I mean,
but the life in it, it never feels like it, right?
Just like watching us. No. Pastor, so good to see you. So good. I feel like it's been a little bit since we've done this, but it's always great. I said I felt like I was going to be rusty, but so we'll see where this goes.
Oh, I think you're pretty oiled up and ready to go. I've never seen you when you were rusty or at a lack for words. So yeah, what a great day. Thankful for the new year, all done, all God's doing. I'm thankful for the last year. Thankful for 2024. A lot happened. A lot of just a lot of expectation, a lot of hope, a lot of prophecy. We're walking through a lot of seasons now that we prophesied for some time, seeing the hand of God, God raising up the church. And just, you know what is just really ministering to me right now is just, I turned my television on just whatever network or even the news, and there are people asking people if they want to pray and receive Christ as Lord.
Wow.
And I'm looking going, man, am I dreaming or is this really now? So just to see the hand of God moving in the way that he's moving, and all over, people of all from politics to people in business to talent, the arts and everyone just coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It kind of feels like the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the latter season, latter season is.
That's right.
You
know? That's right.
So I've been really excited. We were watching the news yesterday and someone came up, a lady came up and talking about Christ and being Lord and Savior of her life. And you can have, you can ask Christ to come into your life. And I looked at Donna and I said, we're watching the news, right? This is amazing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
What a great quick work God's doing. So
Yeah, definitely a season of a lot of change. And a lot of times change can be exciting. Sometimes change for people could be kind of fear and concern and trepidation.
Some of that too, yeah.
And, but I love that no matter what's going on, that God's always there right in the midst of it with us.
Yeah, that's... We've been talking a lot about that, because when people see perilous times coming, and I understand based on the scriptures, we talk about perilous times and, when these things happen, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And we've been talking quite a bit about that, ministering on Sundays and you and I, when we get together, about the presence of the Lord and where is he and waiting for him to come and when will he come and what will that look like? And and then there's a lot of views, he has come, or he's almost here, or he's not here for a long time, or it's happened, just so many.
Hasn't happened, when's it gonna happen?
It'll never happen, it already happened, it's happening this year, And everyone has a take on the presence of Christ, and I call it the appearing of Christ, and who he is, and where he is, and when he is, and all those things. And God really put in my heart a long time ago to look for him just like we look for the kingdom. Wherever we are, there he is. So, I got to thinking, and I've thought this for a long time, it's kind of, in a way, you can look at generations past that have waited for Christ to return, and felt like, maybe the children of those parents, heard their parents talking about Christ coming, and the parents went home to be with the Lord, and that season never happened. And the children may be disappointed, and people that have put things off because the day of the Lord is coming, so why do we need to go ahead and pursue certain business ventures or whatever it is? Why do we need to save for our children? As the word says, a father lays up an inheritance for his children. Why would we need to do any of that? Just different thoughts that kind of tend to put people off for tomorrow, looking for what tomorrow is going to bring, when actually the scriptures told us not to do that. They tell us, this is a day God has made. Let's think about today. Don't say tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. So, in that framework, not I'm not the guy that takes any of these these ideas as you know, the finale of God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in everything Jesus said he's going to do, and in every way he said he's going to present himself, and every way he's going to appear, because he said it, he's going to do it, okay?
Yeah.
But where are we today, you know? And I think about David, and he prayed this prayer, and the psalmist prayed the prayer. David's always talking about God as though he was his best friend, and he was just right there. And the psalmist says, "Where would I go from the presence of the Lord?" Mm-hmm. And where would I flee? Where could I flee from his spirit? You know, if I go to the farthest corners of the earth, you're there before I get there.
Mm-hmm.
It goes as far as to say, if I make my bed in hell, there you are.
Yeah.
You know, you comfort me no matter where I am. And certainly God's, you know, he's not saying I'm going to hell and God, you're going to visit me there. It's not what he's saying. You know, of course he's saying you're every place, you're omnipresent as yeah. God and only God is. And that's his nature. So I felt very directed of the Lord to begin to encourage people about the appearance of Christ today.
Yeah.
As opposed to putting a season off where maybe he's coming tomorrow. I like to think about him. He came today. When I woke up this morning, Jesus appeared. So the same Jesus that people are waiting for to come on a cloud,
yeah,
and we can all anticipate that, is the same Jesus that walked on water.
Yeah.
He's the same Jesus that was born in a manger. He's the same Jesus that was crucified. He's the same Jesus that rose from the dead.
Yeah.
He's the same Jesus that filled us with his spirit. He's the same God. He doesn't change.
No.
So is he any more present in a day in the future than he is today? And according to the word, I have to say no.
No.
He's always with us. Where could he go? Where did he go? He didn't go anywhere.
I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Yeah. He sent us his spirit. And he said it's expedient that this appearance as a man, as he was a man, this appearance transforms into a different appearance in the form of my spirit. And I'm going to dwell with you. It's called the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I've been really enjoying the feeling and the sense of being able to encourage people that Jesus isn't gone. He never left.
Yes.
He's always been with us. His appearance changes. The, you know, we talked about the ocean. We talked about one ocean, but how it appears in various ways. But
And the different states of water.
Different states of water. But I want you to weigh in on, because you've heard. So.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that I think it's so refreshing, and it's such a, speaking of water, so refreshing. Mm. But yeah, that idea that I certainly grew up, not, you know, people are at various levels of this. I certainly grew up, though, with the sense of, you know, the impending tribulation and the impending sense, okay, of waiting for Jesus to return.
Right.
And what I think that does, it certainly gives hope, but at the same point, it, like you said, it causes us to put things off.
Yeah.
And just started thinking about all the times that even in the Bible, after Jesus ascended, okay, and the angel said, "What are you staring up at the clouds for?" You know, he comes like you saw him go, right?
Yeah.
Was that he still showed up after they showed up to Paul, he showed up to Stephen, he shows up to John.
Did.
So it's like, were those the second comings also? Was that a second, third, fourth, fifth coming? So
there are a lot of comings.
There's so many yeah. And I think the fact that regardless of how God plays out the end of everything, to limit God and to limit Jesus to this is your valid appearance,
right,
without embracing the potential of every single day. He says, seek his face because he's here.
Yeah.
And that changes for me. That changes how I can go about my every single day.
Exactly.
You know, you're no longer waiting to be rescued from a situation. You're suddenly empowered by that situation. Because most of all, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So if he's in me, how is he showing up in the physical any place else going to be any better for me than him being inside of me?
Yeah, exactly.
And that to me is a mindset shift that's powerful.
You know, and you said something that I've thought about, it's so true. I mean, how many times did he return? You know, he came as a baby.
Yeah.
He returned from the grave.
Yeah.
He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's his appearance. And if we would get more excited about that he may appear today, but he will.
Yes.
And has appeared today. We're not going to miss any event of Christ appearing. And that's the word that I see in the word, and that's the word I take on, because it plays into every time that God reveals himself. You know, he's appeared to me in dreams. Mm-hmm. I've heard his voice. His presence is it's so tangible. So I don't feel that he's far from me. But when I listened with the mindset of just the bad times coming, and because of the bad times, Christ is going to come to salvage what is left. And I understand that. I understand where you can read certain scriptures, and I get it. So I'm not arguing anything. I'm not going to debate anything with anyone. I'm here to preach the good news. And the good news to me is Jesus is here.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is here, and however throughout history, I don't know how many different ways he's going to appear. I mean, you listen to stories that people tell, people that were on their deathbed, people that were lost, all kinds of rapture stories, salvation stories. I can't seclude him to one event that is a finale, and this is why. There is no finale to God.
No.
He doesn't have an end. And a lot of the mindset that I grew up in and grew up with was the finale, where we are all working towards that finale when it's finished.
Yeah.
And it never will be, because
well,
he's
you
an
know,
eternal
when it was,
God.
It, wasn't it finished in like 30 AD when he said it is finished?
It is finished. And what did he finish? The end of the end. So the beginning was forever.
Yes.
Because death through sin was the end, and that was the only end.
Yes.
He put an end to the end and said, it is finished, now let's begin.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't change. You know, when Jesus ascended, the word says that he literally captured us.
Yeah.
He didn't leave us. He captured us in spirit. He captured us in prophecy. He captured us in promise, and he led all captives free. And the word says he ascended so he could fill all of the universe with the freedom and the liberty and the fullness of who he presented himself to be in the earth, because the word says the fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form. So, see, I think the theology that it stumped me for a lot of years when I was growing up, and it does, it gives you a bit of that urgency to just tell people, repent, repent, because bad is coming, evil's coming, and you don't want to die and miss the rapture or go to hell or be, instead of teaching people the goodness of God. You know, fear tactics only work until you're not afraid anymore. And once you lose that feel of fear, you become the same person you were, because that's not transformation.
Yeah.
Transformation happens when you accept Christ for who he is, and not who we want him to be or who we believe he's going to be. He's never going to be any more God than he is. He's so God, he's all God, and he'll only be God for always and always. Mm-hmm. And there is no appearance that's going to make him more God than he is. There's no appearance that's going to transform you or I any more than he transforms us right here, right now, because he didn't leave just a piece of himself here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like here's a quarter of me here, and the other, you know, three quarters is going to come someday, and then you'll see me all of me. The word says when the veil is lifted from our eyes, and that veil is the revelation of Christ, because prophecy is the revelation of Christ. When that veil is lifted and we see him for who he is, not see him when he appears in a different form, but when we see him for who is Christ really, Christ within me, the hope of glory, then that transformation of change begins to take place. And it's just so much more hopeful, so much more joyful, and you feel so much more energized, alive to do, as the angel said, why are you standing here gazing when Jesus ascended? Go and do.
Yeah.
Go and say what he said to say. Don't stand here and gaze up waiting. Go and be busy. Waiting for the Lord is anticipating what he's going to do today. So every day I wait for the appearance of Jesus, and he has appeared to me over and over and over, not necessarily where I've seen him with my eyes, but I've seen his wonders in so many different ways. The word says only a fool can look up and say there is no God. because of all the creation, all he's made, all he's done, what he does daily. He daily loads us with benefits. You know, he guides us in all truth every day. He never leaves us. So it's just such a such a more revelatory relationship with Christ to know that I don't have to wait for a finale. I'm waiting every day for that new beginning, that new, fresh, the grace of God every single day. And then I'm not going to miss anything.
No.
He appears in the heavens on a cloud. He swings open a door and walks through it. He comes up on the sea. It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
Because we've been having an experience with his presence and his appearance in multifaceted ways. You can't conclude God or Jesus Christ to one finale or one appearance. He is an eternal God, and his glories are endless. And so is his appearing.
Yeah, it is. And I think about how, you know, a lot of times that I certainly would fall into this as well in the past, but you look at the world sometimes and you go, it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse, you know? And a lot of that also is just, you know, what they call recency bias, because every generation was like, God, you need to come save us because it's so bad,
exactly.
You know? But the idea that the world is getting worse and we need to be saved out of it, you know, taken out of it for our protection and everything like that.
Right.
If we really stop to think about it, what we're saying is that the kingdom of God is ultimately going to fail on what he set up. You know, certainly we're saying, he's going to come back and save it, but what he left in our hands is destined to fail. And the word actually says the opposite. It says, my kingdom is going to grow like a mustard seed until it fills the entire earth. And I think it's funny, if you look at church history even, it's only been within the last 100, 150 years that there's been a lot more of this kind of, let's call it more of a pessimistic or concern of the world getting worse. And there's a lot of good reason for it, the world wars, all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
But there was always bad stuff. But the church before that, all the church fathers, everybody, all the different denominations had a very more victorious sense. And you saw so much in the kingdom of God expanding throughout the earth. And today people are still getting saved and everything like that. But it just feels like the church doesn't have much power.
Yeah.
And we blame it on an enemy, we blame it on the force outside, but I think it's because we're standing here going, help us, when he's like, when God's saying, no, go be about the business I've already empowered you to, because I'm with you.
Yeah.
And if we don't acknowledge him being with us, we're certainly not going to feel like we can accomplish anything.
Well said. You know, it reminds me of Jesus when Philip said to him, he said, show us the Father and we'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll suffice us.
Yeah.
Just show us the Father. That's all we're asking. And the word says Jesus, you know, he looks at them and says, you've been looking at the kingdom all the time. He said, the kingdom doesn't come like that.
No.
He said, you can't say here it is or there it is. And if someone tells you it's over here or it's over there or it's coming, they're not telling you the truth. The kingdom of God cannot be observed that way. But yet, we're waiting for the kingdom of God to be observed
that way.
You know what's really important? Let me just weigh in here. It is so important in the scriptures to look for the spirit and the heartbeat of God. We were talking about this just before we started talking. To know who God is, to know his ever presence, that's a big deal. It helps you overcome some of the uncertainties that you may read in certain passages of scripture. And listen, we all have to receive the Holy Spirit of God in such a way that we can interpret by the Spirit, because the Word tells us the Word without the Spirit is like dead letter. You can't figure it out, okay? You just can't.
No.
And you need to know the Spirit of God. If someone were to tell me, I know you pretty well. We've known each other for a long time. I'm pretty sure I know your character. If someone were to come to me and say, Steve said this, and this about you, and it was negative, I wouldn't be able to believe it because I know your character. I know if you had something to say, you'd say it to me.
Sure.
You wouldn't say it behind my back.
No.
So, and you're a man, but I know that about you. How much more should we be convicted about our relationship with the Father?
Wow.
I mean, so I need to know his heart. So if someone says something and it generates fear, or it's like, you know, you're going to go through this really horrible time before, you know, Jesus comes and just raptures you or saves you out of it, then I either don't know God For who I have believed him to be, no evil will come nigh you. The wicked one touches you not. I defeated he that had the power of death, that is the devil.
Yeah.
I will keep you. No evil will befall you. I've given you victory over all power, and nothing by any means can hurt you. Then I have to kind of say, well, then we've been exalted in order to be abased again under evil authority and power. But what helps me understand that that's not the truth, even though you can read certain things and go, it sounds like that, is one simple thing. What we were told, you need the Holy Spirit so you can have power to bear witness to me. In other words, so you know me for who I am. Hmm. So no one can terrify you.
Yeah.
So you don't misinterpret a scripture. So you don't see it in a different way. Maybe it's an analogy. Maybe it's exactly what it says. But regardless of what it is, if you feel you're going to be thrown in the fire, you're not going to be burned. So I can be as excited about the furnace as I am about the cloud.
Yeah.
Because the same God that is with me in the cloud is with me in the furnace. And if we have that attitude towards God, then we're really interpreting him for who he is. Omnipresent, all-powerful, always watching us, always loving us, always caring for us, always leading us, always God in his fullness. And then however else, everything else plays out, it's an experience of excitement, and we're not dreading the present day, hoping that tomorrow is better when we're told not to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I will say of the Lord, this is the day God has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. So I have found through the word from Old Testament to New, from Abraham and Isaac and David, the great psalmist, to Paul and the apostles and Jesus Christ talking about how present he is with us. Where is, show us the Father. Jesus said, you've been looking at him all the time.
Yeah.
If you'd known me, you'd known the Father. So it's kind of like that for me. I'm waiting for this finale day. And I feel like Jesus would say, you've been living in it every single day since you were born again.
Wow.
I am always present with you. I never left you. I will appear to you in many forms. I don't want to tell God which form he's supposed to appear in or when. I don't even need to know.
Right.
I just know that he's going to appear, he's going to make his presence known, his appearance in various and sundry different ways, just as the glory that he is. He is endless in glory, and he is endless in appearance. And that's the Christ that I serve, and that's the God that I wake up every morning believing I'm going to see his coming today, and I'm never let down. I'm never disappointed. He always shows up.
Oh, amen. Man, and we got to wrap this up, but I do want to touch on, you had teased me before we were speaking about this, about there was something in Job that you were going to reference.
Oh, yeah. I actually have it right here. Job goes through a lot, and he loses a lot, and we're going to actually address that, I think, in a more podcast down the road here. But Job has lost everything, okay? Everything's happened. Everything's bad. I mean, he's lost his family. He's lost his friends. He's lost his position. He's as low as he can get. He's sitting down in ashes, and he's scraping his swords with broken pottery. And here's a man that was wealthy and blessed and admired and honored and favored, and he's lost everything. And he starts out just, God, you know, you're faithful, and he's praying, and then things progress, and then his friends get involved, and sometimes it's dangerous when your friends get involved if they're not speaking on behalf of God, like Elihu did. But at the end, Job gets it, and he just wakes up and says, God, you're basically what we say, God's way is perfect.
Yeah.
You're God, and how can I contend with you? Whatever you say and whatever you do, you're God, and I just surrender to you. And he says this at the end. He says, I heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you.
Yes.
Mrs. Job, verses. Okay?
I didn't know that's where you're going, but that's like one of my favorite verses.
But now my eye sees you. And he was talking about, God, I've seen you in a way. I've heard. I've seen all the blessing. I've seen the calamity. I've listened to my miserable comforters. And I've listened to Elihu. And I hear you. And in hearing you, I see you. He didn't have to see him with his eyes. He was saying, I see you now.
Yeah.
Now my eyes see you. Job felt like he saw God. Okay? It is so important to believe God is always with you. He's never going to leave you. There isn't anything we have to wait for that we don't have now, but you can certainly anticipate the appearance of Christ in many, many forms. He'll never bring us to a finale. He'll only bring us to a new beginning, because then that's the nature of the eternal God, the eternal Christ that we serve and that we love, and that we are able to be called a friend of God. How great is that?
Oh, that is so great. What a promise, what a word. Thank you, Pastor. Everyone, until next time, I pray that this would be a real encouragement to you, that we would go, each of us, through our day and be looking for the appearance of Jesus, because he's there waiting to show up, waiting for us to recognize him, waiting for us to see him.
Amen.
So thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.